Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to the Crash Course, episode number 202 on deck tonight. Excited to have everybody along with us. We've got a lot of folks to talk to. We're going to talk first with Josh Orndorff, who won the stock division over at Chaos in the Valley. He had an LS and an interesting story behind his car itself right from the get-go, and then we're going to be catching up. Richard Davis just messaged me back, and he changed his mind, and he's going to come on the show. He's not much of a talker, so we're only going to have him for a few minutes, but Richard had a heck of a night on Saturday, came away with an $8,000 win at Chaos in the Valley in the headline compact division. We're talking a little bit with Scott Mulder, another compact guy who is coming in with some momentum on his side. He won Capital City Carnage, and then he's going to be joining a team that's heavily favored to win at the at Blizzard Bash coming up in November. And then we'll cap it with a conversation with Jason Brodzinski, who's always got something up his sleeve when it comes to Blizzard Bash. So we're looking forward to that. We've got a full house tonight. I know everybody was excited to see this. Ben came in, and we expected Ben to be here. And Brian came in, and we expected Ben to be here. And then the cat drug Josh in. Oh, he fell asleep. That's okay. Josh making the trip in. So appreciate everybody coming and hanging out with us for a little while. So the first things first, over at Chaos in the Valley, there's a group called the Semper Fi Fab Shop who put together a memorial trophy to give away right at the start of the heat. They had Brandon Marston and a bunch of Dakota Marston's family in it. They came out, they did a moment of silence and paid tribute to Dakota Marston's life. He has a little one that was left behind. Dakota was untimely killed in a truck accident back in September, and it was really cool. They brought that trophy out, and it really showed a lot of community out there when everybody came together. The promoters were out there on track, and they did a moment of silence and a prayer over the car. It was really cool to see that, and a lot of folks really embraced that family. They had in memory of Dakota decals. They ran the car that it was going to be there. I don't think there's any green vinyl left in the state of Virginia at this point. A lot of folks running in memory decals on their cars, so that was good to see. The Derby as a whole was an outstanding show. They had 88 compacts, they had 31 mod cars, 21 stock cars, 31 mod cars. They had 8-10 trucks and vans, and that's before you even start counting the 36 power wheels and dozen or so lawnmowers that they had. And it got over with a little after 1 in the morning. Dan Bolton went down there and ran, and he said 7th place in his heat felt like a feature win, which was very complimentary from somebody who's never been down there before. Tim and Russ Clark made the trip down to see what that place was all about. They had a pretty good time. Brian Schumann ended up winning the mod class. Jason Koch had some problems. Looked like he lost the transmission, and unfortunately it knocked off his streak. He had won in the spring show and then turned around and won the fall show as well, or excuse me, the fair event that was held for the mod cars under JPG Towing. So he was looking to sweep the year. He ended up 4th. Mike Schwalm, he ran a bunch of vehicles through the course of the night. He ended up picking up a little bit of money when he won the trucks and vans feature, and did a pretty nice job with his minivan coming with the win in that one. Richard Davis, like we said, he won the compact feature. It was scheduled for $5,000 win, and they said if they had over a particular threshold, they would inject more money into it. And by the time they were done counting the 88 compact cars that they had there, they put another $3,000 on it. So it went from $5,000 win to $8,000 win.
Wow.
Which was pretty cool.
Yeah. And
that was a big shot in the arm. He won that. 27 compacts took the track for the feature.
That's awesome.
And Matt, he had to beat some good drivers, Matt Davidson, the Kibblers. All the regular cast of characters were right down there at the end, and he drove his way into a win, so that was pretty cool. Greg Alger made the A-Main up until Friday night. I don't even think he was planning on running, but he brought a car there, and sure enough, he made the A-Main, and he introduced Toyota Dano to Virginia style all night. Yeah. All night. And then Josh, our guest who's on the line right now, picked up his 3rd win of the year with his Jeffy Fab Farm LS driving the car that if you were at Bash for Cash a couple years ago, you saw that white Buick Electra 225, mm-hmm. and it was one of those road – it was a road demolition derby car, and it changed hands a couple times. It ended up back with the original builder, Bill Orndorff. Josh bought it and then drove it Saturday night to win in the stock championship. So turning things over now, our attention to young Josh Orndorff after he picked up his third win of the year. Josh, man, congratulations.
Thanks, appreciate it.
So tell us a little bit about the evening and how your weekend went.
Oh, it was busy. Last minute decided to throw my mod car together and got the trunk done on that. And we took my dad's mod car too. And we had my Buick pretty much done, just sitting there ready to go. So it wasn't too awful crazy, but then once we decided to throw my trunk and my mod car together, getting through inspection and all, but we got all three of our cars through, so.
How did inspection go?
Oh, it was good. I mean, just they just make everybody cut something. You know how it goes. Just, the mod cars are just crazy up there. Everyone just has a wild imagination with what they're going to do to them. And the stock class is pretty much typical wire doors and all that stuff. So not too much welds on those. So
there's a stock car that was sitting in tech inspection. And Jason Scheib didn't know it was behind him. I don't even know who the car belonged to. And one of the inspectors was underneath the front fender, so they didn't see me come up, and I came up sort of behind him. And I leaned my head underneath the fender, and then I looked down through the roof, and I stuck my hand down there, and I said, I don't know what you're doing. You made let the last four cars through do that, and now you're making us cut it. And I hit the driver in the arm like that, and both the inspectors turned white, and they come out of the car.
That's funny.
That's awesome. That was, it got intense there for a second.
You wonder why no one likes you.
Yeah. One of the reasons why. The only part of our inspection was with my street legal car. We had all the fake welds on the doors, you know, so it looks like it's welded. You could walk up and open them up. You get the car, obviously. And we had the all thread through the roof, or through the hood and trunk and all that stuff. So we left all that on there. So when I pulled up to inspection, Scheib said, so this is a mod car? I'm like, no, open the hood. He's like, how am I supposed to open the hood with all this stuff on?
Right.
So I walked up there and opened the hood, and it was all fake. So everyone probably raised hell thinking all my doors were welded and everything. But
there was one guy, I can't remember his name, the one guy in the compacts that got hit so hard it broke the hinges and his door fell off. Like, just kind of fell off.
Yikes.
They made him get out.
In your spare time, did you video this? This is the one I watched with you a few years ago at your house. I remember one day we sat and watched Chaos in the Valley, and that was just
Chaos
intense.
In the Valley right now is being loaded in the other room.
Because Chris Marquardt's the man, without a doubt.
Or we you got had there. To just watch it FaceTime live.
Thanks, Ben.
Was that Saturday night? I don't remember what I was doing. Oh, it was at my sister's.
It's funny.
Oh, yeah, awesome. At one point we were up in the crow's nest because they asked if we were announced. So I figured if I'm going to talk to nobody, I might better talk to somebody. So I got up there and their soundboard was a little bit different than what I was quite ready for.
So you rebuilt it?
So no, I did a workaround for it, but I didn't have a chance to test it as well as I wanted to. So we changed the audio takeoff to the camera. And it sounded fine, but I went through and gutted all the memory cards that I had brought with me just to make sure if we had to. So I did a local recording on the computer, and then to back that up, I did all the recording on the camera so that in the event we did have a problem, we had to edit everything back together. We had a good one that I knew that the audio was going to be okay, and I checked it yesterday afternoon, and it sounded okay to me. So that's being loaded right now. A lot of people were asking when it was going to be up. I must have had 40 people.
Yeah, I saw a bunch on there asking for the link and stuff.
Now we know what we got to do, and I found a sweet little blue cable hanging from the ceiling. It's an Ethernet cable, which would tap us into some pretty good internet speed, I would think. So we just got to get somebody there that would turn it on. Nobody there knew how it got there.
It's probably just a tale somebody put up there to screw with everybody's head. Yeah, yeah. We got internet. See, EarthNet, it goes into the ground, and that's a
they got EarthNet, not Ethernet. It'd be good.
That's awesome.
So when you guys get to venture out of town a little bit more, I mean, the driving clinic that you put on with that car, you were making smart hits. Your mod car looked good. When are you going to start venturing out of town a little?
I'm planning on it right now. It might change, but I'm planning on bringing my LS up to Bash for 80s wire class next year. That's my plan as of now, so hopefully we'll do that. But I want to run again in the April Derby, so we're going to have to start working all winter and getting these cars ready. But I hope to be up there in Bash and trying to convince Dad to take a car back up to Bash too, so hopefully soon.
Your mod car didn't look like it was hurt that bad. All you got to do is put another coat of paint on it.
Yeah, that was its third Derby. I took it to Harrisonburg, and I ended up getting a win in that car. and then I took it to the Shenandoah County Fair in here in the mod class. I made the feature, and ended up actually busting a whole seam weld open on a brand new fuel cell, 20-gallon fuel cell, the same problem that the Gokenauer and Hammond, they all had that year.
Yeah.
I ended up buying the same tank they bought, I assume, and ended up busting my tank open, losing 20 gallons of alcohol on the track, and got cut short. So we came home, put a whole new trunk on that car, and went ahead and took it back and ran a strong second with all them tough people in there. And
yes.
Just dumbing me around, but had a lot of fun in there. So.
So that brings you to, if my count's right, you got 4 wins this year. You had you doubled up at Warren County with the LS motor, and then you put that into the Buick in one Saturday, and before that you had the mod win in Harrisonburg.
Yeah, I have 4 wins this year. I have 2 second places, a 4th, and a 5th. So
it's not a bad season.
That was all good finishes this year. Luckily, I had a very, very lucky year. I'm blessed. So,
is this your first full year where you're going wide open?
Yeah, pretty much. The first year when I ran, I only ran that one Derby.
Right.
And the second year I ran, I borrowed one of Dad's cars and drove up to Maryland, and the steering box broke right off the bat. So that wasn't much of a thing. And you came down, I guess it was last year when I had my Vic in here at the fair. But this is my first year really running a whole bunch of shows. I ran 8 shows this year, so.
Not a bad year.
No.
Finishing on a highlight. I mean, what was it like battling out there with Jason Koch and Brian Schumann?
Oh, yeah, you got to love it. That's the first time I was with Brian. He usually doesn't come out here, obviously, so that was fun. It's always fun battling Coke. You know, he always has good stuff. So, and he's always beating up on us, so
yes,
it's fun to beat back on him a little bit, you know.
It was a good show. I mean, he was definitely favored to win. And
oh, yeah, Schumann, most definitely.
Schumann slipped in there.
I agree.
Schumann's car was nice. He had a well-built car. You guys would have loved it. There's a lot of Mopars down there.
Nice.
So the clients had a bunch of them.
I saw a picture of a 60s Mopar wagon.
That was David Wittemeyer's car.
Mm-hmm.
He had his plasma cut roof sign. Instead of putting it on the roof, he put it in the window just above the wheel opening of his Chrysler wagon, and had it burned in right there. Figured out.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
As
an inspector, you would have had to cut it out.
I was going to say, what was it made of, half inch?
It was.
David's had a pretty good year. He beat me in here at the fair with one of his cars. He has a very good drivetrain. He's been whooping up on people. So we got lucky that he said he broke his axle. We got lucky in there because nose of my car was going down. I guess I just lucked out that he broke an axle when he was out early. And Corey, that was Corey's second Derby ever.
And, really?
He did a great job in there. He ended up getting second, so
yes,
we're all happy for him.
He did a fantastic job. His motor sounded good too. His motor sounded great.
Yeah, his motor, he has good stuff.
Cool. Is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of or that helped get you out there? I know your dad had to have a good time. He had some bad luck, but he had to be pretty proud of the effort you put out there.
Yeah, he had some bad luck this year. We hauled them cars a lot this year, trying to run shows, and they were just a little overbuilt for all the shows we took them to. So we finally got to run them, and yeah, he had bad luck. But obviously, I owe it all to him. Him teaching me everything, and him letting me run his Baldwin and all that. He bought a new Baldwin, so I got to run his old Baldwin. So that was pretty fun, running his stuff. So.
Did he tell you good job, or did he point out all the stuff you did wrong when you won the stock feature?
What's that again? I couldn't hear you.
Did he tell you that you did a good job in the stock feature, or did he just go through and point out all your mistakes?
Yeah. Well, he was in there during the mod feature. He was standing there, and he was trying to coach me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then during the mod, he was out there, but he kind of stayed quiet. He's gonna let me do my thing a little bit. So. Yeah. But yeah, he afterwards we always come home. You know, he's got his pointers and stuff. So I'll listen to him.
Definitely should. Bill Orndorff's got some experience down there. Josh, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while, man. And keep us posted through the winter how that build goes. We're looking forward to finding out what you do in April when we get back to the spring show cast in the Valley, and especially that age class at Bash for Cash.
Yep, alrighty. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
We'll see you later.
Have a good one.
There goes Josh Orndorff.
I think they might have to run like 2 heats of the 80s wire class on like Friday night or something at Bash this year. I think they had 4 last year that were full.
It was 3.
I thought it was 4. Didn't they add 2? Because wasn't it 2 before, and then they added 2 more?
I don't know. I know who could tell us.
Yeah, probably.
He's probably going to message you right now.
Yeah, he's listening right now. Like, what did you do to get Josh there?
Cash. We know you don't have any, so that can't be right.
Taking a quick look ahead, Smash has teamed with Baldwin Racing Engines to give away two engines at Blizzard Bash. You heard Josh talking a little bit about Baldwin's as a whole. Giving away two engines at Blizzard Bash. Requirements are simple. You just have to be a driver. Only drivers who run at Blizzard Bash get 5 tickets with a chance to win. It's a full roll of 355 for the full-size builders and a 3100 for the compact drivers. And on behalf of Smash It, we want to send a big thank you out to all of the drivers, partners, supporters who helped make 2017 a huge success. And I look forward to working with all those folks again as we move towards 2018. Online for more details, Smash It Derby. That's Smash It Demolition Derbies. And we will...
It's pretty cool they're giving away them. I mean...
Well, I know a guy local that would love to have the 355.
Yeah.
Since he junked his.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can see that.
He actually junked his Baldwin, brand new Baldwin motor.
Oh, no way. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't know. Like, giving away things like that, I think, are a little bit cooler than winning cash, even. You know, because cash is cool, but, you know, like, you get home and your wife takes half of it always. So it's like, you know,
take that's half, me. I mean, take half win, this motor. Like, take half this motor. Go ahead.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with that? Keep it. Okay.
Well, I got my Anthony that works in my garage. Mm-hmm. I got him. He's ready to spend some cash on a new motor right now.
He's asking me a lot of questions. Oh, yeah. Filippo.
You know, he's a kid that's got cash burning a hole in his pocket. And he's just looking for something to spend it on. So it's like, you need a new motor.
I tried selling him something. He won't come off his wallet. So,
yeah, you gotta get him on the right days. He got yelled at from his work because he has like 7 checks.
On
not
cash.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you got to start cashing your checks. He's like, well, I don't need them. And I'm like, dude.
Sounds like Earl Benjamin.
Don't you say that over here.
Uh-huh. Bastard. Yeah, he'll be thrown out of the garage quick talking like that.
Yeah, it's like, dude, go fill up them torch tanks. Now, I'm looking forward to Blizzard Bash, man. I've been talking to a lot of people, man. It's starting to pick up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people making phone calls, seeing what other people are doing. Hey, what's this guy doing? I got a call today. It's like, hey, what's this guy doing? It's like,
everybody's getting tight-lipped.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Getting tight-lipped. All the joking's kind of settled down a little bit. Now everybody's
it's game
serious.
Time now. Yeah.
It's serious time.
Oh, yeah.
Burn a phone up already, Chris?
Yep.
That's awesome. It's 17 like, minutes in.
You know what I'm getting a lot of is like.
Range. I don't know why.
I'm getting a lot of West turners saying, hey, how's Tim and Russ? How's Tim and Russ? You know, and it's like, they're awesome. They're great. You know, and are you sure? You know, it's like, yeah, these guys are, you know, and I think Blizzard Bash will be good because they're going to prove to everybody how great they are, you know, to them guys out in the West. That we got to go through this first year of the
nerves.
There's a lot. That's it. There's a lot of guys that aren't used to getting put on a lift either.
Very true. Very true.
You know, but that's a typical builder's question. They want to know how people are, and if it's their first year coming out, they're definitely, the amount of time and money they're putting into them, they definitely want to know.
We've got Richard Davis joining us on the line. He picked up $8,000 for a night of work over at Cass in the Valley. Congratulations, man. That win had to feel good. Cars.
Thank you very much. It was surprising, I'll tell you that.
What do you mean it was surprising? Everybody pulls onto that track with the intention of winning. You couldn't have been any different.
Yeah, well, I've been around Derby my whole life, but I don't Derby too much. I mean, I enjoy it once or twice a year.
Well, you're set for about 20 years of Derby.
Yeah,
cars.
Right. That's a lot of Comdex. You know how many Comdex you can buy with $8,000?
Yeah. 60
I mean, what were you thinking when you found out that they ejected another $3,000 into the purse? I mean, that had to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I was excited. I think Jason Scheidt puts on a good show every year, and I always go watch it. And this year, I had a buddy talk me into go running it, so it definitely paid off.
Who talked you into going?
I got a friend named Ralph Powell and Brad Falk. They uh-huh. They helped, well, Ralph supplied the car, and Brad helped me build it, and so I decided to go.
That's
I
cool.
Hope you bought him dinner.
Yeah. Yeah,
he definitely yeah. owned dinner. Maybe a couple beers, too.
Yeah, they made some good decisions there. You didn't have an easy road to it. You know, Matt Davidson was right there at the end hanging around, and he wouldn't go away. And
yeah, I've known Matt since I was a kid also, so he's a good guy.
What kind of car were you driving?
Toyota Camry.
Yep. Hot ticket right now, huh?
Was there any other car?
Hot ticket.
I think that's what Bolton was looking to get. He wanted to buy an Imperial so he could trade for 10 Camrys. I heard that on Facebook. So.
I'm booing him.
I used to drive a Toyota Camry every day to work, so. And a lot of people like Luminas, but I just decided to drive a Camry.
It was a W Body Fest. There was a lot of them there.
Yeah, it's a lot of video.
Speaking of W Body, right? What?
Dan took a W Body?
No.
No, he took a Camry.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. Yep. Toyota Down. Christy Germain and Devin in a W Body up at I think it was up at Fall Brawl, right? They won the couples heat.
They
won. But it's either W Bodies or Camrys around here. Avalons, same idea. You get a couple of Hondas hit and miss, they do okay. So where to next? You gonna run in the spring?
It's hunting season next, but
absolutely.
I'm sure I might come back in the spring and try it.
At this point, why not? I mean, you had a 1 in 88. There's 88 cars there, so you had a 1 in 88 shot.
You walk out with it.
Yeah,
grand.
Jason was going to come down to my hometown, which he did, and then we got stormed out. So hopefully he can come back to Orange this year, and we won't have too much bad weather.
Right. The last moments of that. You're slamming away. Your car was laboring. It wasn't nearly as healthy as it was 45 minutes earlier. And the guy that you were against just kept finding a way to refire, kept staying busy. You're making the hits and then backing away, making the hits and backing away. And he was rocking enough. Did you think that car was ever going to die? I mean, how long were those final few minutes?
It felt like forever. I mean, it was cold that night, but I was sweating.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to call it at one point, and then they started back up, so they sent me back at it.
And that was a four-cylinder or six-cylinder?
Four-cylinder.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the answer.
Yeah. Why's that?
I don't know. That's just what's winning. Yeah. Camrys with four-cylinders. I guess the six-cylinders aren't as great.
Mm-hmm. There were some of those compact
cars. I ran a six-cylinder earlier in this year, and it blew up on me, so...
There was one dude, I don't remember who it was, he blew up a four-cylinder, and you know, everybody says, I blew up the motor, but he blew it up. I mean, grenaded it. There was a big poof of flames from under the hood, and then it stopped. Never moved again.
It was a guy that went down with Dan, wasn't it? Wasn't there another guy from up here that went down with Dan?
Delbert?
Put a hole the size of a fist through a block.
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. I remember he was working it pretty hard. And
we've seen that happen a few times at Blizzard Bash.
That's awesome.
Also, there's a big poof or some flames and then nothing.
There was a guy there that had a Mopar that was number 35, and I can't remember his name, and he was working that thing hard, and the stacks were orange, and he had sparks coming out of the center of his stacks.
It was ugly.
He was dragging around a lot of whale tail Mopar behind him, and everybody saw it too. They were trying to get a hold of him, but he held his own. He did okay. I was like a 67, 66 New Yorker, 67 New Yorker, something along those lines.
Good car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do okay, especially when you stick an Imperial slip
in. Yeah, they do really well.
But you said your buddy was Donnie Lane. Have you ever toyed around with the big cars?
I do sometimes, not as much as him.
Yeah.
I've known Donnie since I was probably about 9 or 10 years old. Him and my dad are really good friends, so...
Did you get any tips from him, or did you just stick to listening to the compact guys around you?
He gave me a few tips. He supplied me with a couple parts.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Put a plate here, put a plate
no,
there.
Yeah. That's the guy to know.
That's the guy that
he's
knows.
A good dude.
Donnie is a good dude.
He ran all compacts this year, I think.
Yeah.
I think most everything I saw at Donnie's was compact this year. Usually we see him at Bash, and he wasn't there with a full size this year. Hmm. I think most everything he ran was compact this year.
My best friend Brad pretty much welded the car together for me, though. So
Those build rules, how did they compare to like Bash for Cash down there? Everybody was making the parallel that they were the same, and when I talked to Russ about it, Russ was like, "No, nope, these are way different." The compact division was harder.
I've never been to Bash, so.
This the compact build there from what everybody was saying was harder. Harder than
what are they doing? Skinning them,
stuffing
and skinning.
Just load
how much
it.
Can you do? You know, I guess I don't know. I'll learn.
I guess you should have been there.
Yeah. You're right. Got me.
Building Florida cars.
Yeah, I was building Florida cars.
Doing way cooler things.
I was. Well, the cold is coming, so I get unmotivated very quickly in the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got to work when it's nice out.
Yeah.
I stopped working today at 10. It's like, I'm going right home, right to the garage.
Well, is there anybody else that you wanted to make mention of, Richard, that was crucial in helping you get the car out there? You mentioned a couple of buddies talked you into it. One of your buddies did a bunch of the welding on it.
Yeah, I had my buddy Brad Falk, he welded it, and a friend of mine, Ralph Powell, supplied the car to me, and I bought a shifter from Jeffy, Fat Farm, and I had my cousin was out there with me for a while, so.
Very good. Well,
every little bit helped me, so. And my dad, he helped me get it back in the feature, so.
That's it's a family effort, man. It's good to hear. And
they've always been there, so.
Well, for sure, congratulations on the win. That's that'll help you buy a lot more Camrys. Nice. You'll be able to grab a pile of those things for that $8,000.
I hope. I actually got one already, so we'll see where that one goes.
Into the shop and back for April. See if you can double up. Win two in a row.
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Well, Richard, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. And again, congratulations on the win down there at KS in the Valley.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you later.
He's going to buy a lot of T1 with it now.
Yeah. I'm glad that he came on the show. He was talking about not coming on. He goes, I'm not much of a talker.
You scare him.
Yeah.
You're too intimidated.
Because you talk too much.
Your questions.
Can you imagine how thick an envelope with $8,000's got to be?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine taking off from a derby with $8,000 in your pocket?
I mean, I've won 1,000 or 1,200, and that was pretty thick. I mean, but eight times that, that's...
Red Lobster.
Oh.
I know how much 25,000 cash is, and that's a lot.
That's a lot of cash.
Oh. That's a lot of cash.
You could use that.
That's crazy.
May Mania is coming up right around the corner. May Mania is set for the 18th and 19th of 2018, Salt Lake City, Utah. It's going to be that awesome Spirit of 47 arena at the Salt Lake City Park. It's going to be following the same format as the Heber City program with preliminary night with qualifying, some time to work during the day, the grudges, and then the features. After that, Stern Dirt Racing also wants to extend a huge thank you to all the drivers and supporters, the partners, and especially the fans that turned out in droves, just like they always do in Utah, that helped make 2017 a successful year for Stern Dirt. Online, you can find out more information at sterndirtracing.com. We're going to see all the folks from Stern Dirt Racing here in just a couple weeks when we get out to Blizzard Bash, which is going to be the focus of our conversation for the rest of the program. Kansas Expo Center being the host is being the hosts of Blizzard Bash again this year online. BlizzardBash.com has all the details. Thursday, November the 9th, that is the national and qualifying team opening rounds, 4 o'clock start for that one. Friday the 10th is the RC Derby at 9 o'clock in the morning. The national and qualifying team round 2 is to follow at 6 o'clock. Saturday, the 11th compact and limited weld team round 1. 6 o'clock, Power Wheels, all the Team B mains, the trucks, the youth, and the bone stock all on deck for that doubleheader. 6 o'clock start there. And at 1 o'clock, Championship Sunday takes flight with national qualifying, limited weld, and compact team A mains. It's hard to argue that one. It's going to be a good one. We're going to be talking with Scott Mulder here in just a moment as we get our attention now turned to Blizzard Bash. Make sure you get your fantasy leagues turned in, all your fantasy teams. That is still open and available if anybody wants to get that turned in.
What are you up to now?
We're sitting just around 300. I did another push on it today, and everybody that I'm talking to, they're just, well, we want to see what other people are picking. Zach Olson's doing those percentages again.
Yeah.
And it's starting all kinds of banter. Gage Sumner messaged me today and said that we were incorrect on that. His team is DerbyNation.tv only. The team was misrepresented there. So we want to make sure that we're doing right by Gage, and we'll get that straightened out. But, yeah.
So I was looking through the lineups, just, you know.
New Year's Eve's coming up. You got to get get online, jump on there, and grab your tickets. Now you're saying lineups.
I was looking through the lineups for the heats there, and I mean, there's some real, could be some real interesting draws. I mean, what if Team Kansas draws Team Cansylvania? That would be pretty interesting.
I would love to see
that's going to happen because that's how draws work. That's always, you know, you always pick your partners, your friends, or whatever. I mean,
there's a couple other compelling.
That would be a rough first heat.
Black and white versus DMP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to man up. You just, you know, it's like shake hands before we go out because we're all going to be pissed at each other after this one. You know.
Yeah. Hey Scott, can I put you in?
I don't know. Sometimes those are the fun ones. You know, I mean.
Yeah, sure.
One big bonus is at least Coroletto doesn't have a car, so
yeah,
those guys will be having extra.
Just pounding away.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if they should put Coroletto. Coroletto's been on fire.
He's been on a hot
streak. I think that's a car he brought to Bash and didn't run that he's ran all year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That thing was nasty. I would have really liked to have seen those cars run. I wish I could have made it down and seen that in person.
Why you are so quiet. Talk again.
Hello? 1, 2, 7, 6, 5.
I don't know.
Problem being quiet.
Yeah, the phone call chatter is definitely picked up on Blizzard Bash.
Guys, it's
like
serious.
Capital Carnage time and Blizzard Bash. You know, it's funny. Wherever we have derbies, I start getting phone calls from those areas. You know, and the Blizzard Bash. I mean, I've been getting a lot of calls and guys. Everyone's got new motors. You know what? I don't care what anyone says. Blizzard Bash. The dollar amount. Forget that day. Think about the dollar amount that it fluctuates for the sport of demolition derby. Just as far as vendors and
engine builders,
everyone. I've been getting so many new motor pictures. Like, check out my new one. Check out my new one. It's like, Jesus. Does anyone not have a new engine built this year?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many new engines built.
Transmissions, engines.
It's sick. But then you go into everybody needs protectors for those. Everyone's buying runs like crazy. I mean, and now we're seeing. I like some of the shit that's coming out now, like Brzezinski with the T1. I mean, everything's going upgrade now. Now we're going back to half inch, but T1. You know, so like, we're evolving. The sport's like evolving like crazy right now, and the money's being spent.
They're throwing it around, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. You gotta win it to spend it, right?
Woo!
We got Scott Mulder joining us on the hotline. Came away with some success in at Capital City Carnage, and now looking to double down on that effort with a team win at Blizzard Bash. How's the build coming along, Scott?
Button up a few small things, but real close, trying to balance getting that finished between that and harvesting right now, farming. So,
you said you were pulling over on the side of the road in one of the tractors right now, right?
Yeah, you guys are bugging me and making me quit work for a little bit here, but that's all good.
I think the time change is about an hour, and so it's probably 5:30 right about where you're at. We won't keep you too long, but... In terms of the odds this year and going in, you guys are going in as a favorite. Do you guys like having that attention?
No.
No.
Don't blame me.
I'd say it's just a bullseye. That whole fantasy thing means nothing to me as far as I'm concerned. Still a derby, anything can happen.
That's 100% true.
But a lot of good teams this year in the compact class. More teams and a lot of good ones. It's gonna be a load of fun to watch, a load of fun to be in. So,
what's your car of choice?
My car of choice is W body, just because it's so common. Easy to find them on Craigslist for dirt cheap. I started out in compact rear-wheel drives. I just couldn't find them where I'm at, so I went over to front-wheel drive, W-bodies.
That's cool. And the whole team's going W-bodies?
Yes.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
He put on a great show at Capital City.
They took away them SUVs, so that kind of... Yeah, the SUV we had on the team last year is still quite good, but... Yeah, rules change. It's Derbyan.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Ullman, Shea Ford, and Ben Lenner, three drivers that are joining you. You got a pretty good group of talent around you.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah.
Do you guys discuss not so much the act of driving as a team? You guys were able to effectively showcase that you know how to do that without a problem, both in team and outside of team settings, working together. Do you have one guy that sets out to be the hammer that you know this is the car that we're gonna identify you as the guy who's out there to throw around some kill shots and thin the herd so that the other guys can just pick the bones and get through with clean cars?
No, as far as our team goes, we just look out for each other, and no one wants to just no one wants to take second and say, oh, I want to be the hammer. So
is that the lost art in the team driving? When we go out to Blizzard Bash, we see so much emphasis put on somebody being the hammer, somebody trying to do the knockouts and letting the drivers be the finesse in wheels, tires, axles. And it almost seems like that's one of the lost arts, is looking out for each other. You know, not just having your head on a swivel so that you're not getting lit up on a blindside shot, but also being able to rescue your buddies and keep numbers on your side.
Yep, yeah, that's a big difference. You'll see that at Blizzard Bash every year. I see teams that just all kinds of talent in the world, but it's individual talent, and you know, they just can't seem to put it together as a team. Whereas now, you know, there's some teams that have been working together for a long time, and it shows. It really shows. They may not look like they got the best stuff out there, but they're always there at the end.
That's so true.
It's like herding cattle.
It's like Brockway's team, you know, like Whitaker. When you watch those guys run together, it's like them guys are talking to each other out there, you know, like they're, it's like, like, my God, these guys are on the same page. But then we've seen awesome named drivers get together, and then you're like, man, he's not even, you know, you see a guy on the wall, he's not even looking at him. Yeah. I know. I think that part of it is what breaks apart the OK teams to the top.
That's the 3, 4, 5 teams.
I believe so, because all the driving, can't you say that all the guys that are there have the same amount of hours, seat time, same, very close to the same driving potential? You know, they can all get there. What makes the difference? How well they work together as a four. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I love about this match.
That divide and conquer mentality, we saw that, and we were talking about it. You know, the basically when we saw, I don't remember what year it was, I think it was 2 years ago, it might even have been the first year that Whitaker was with Brockway's crew when they were doing the figure eight, and they would isolate one car, and
oh
then they would
gosh.
Do the loop and knockout.
Clinic.
Clinic. So fast.
Clinic driving. Oh, man.
But that same rule applies. I mean, you know, Ben's talked about it before. It doesn't matter how big the cars are. When you're in Topeka, that same mentality applies, that divide and conquer, herd and cattle.
Mm-hmm.
I think guys that, like you said, everyone goes to Blizzard Bash wanting to be the hammer. But if you're not the kind of guy that runs hammer all year long, if you're not a hammer, and then you try to change your setup to a hammer, I think guys get hurt doing that, because then you start blasting stuff, making bad shots and stuff. I don't know,
It's like being bilingual.
You gotta
be both. You gotta be able to do both.
You're right.
You gotta be able to be the hammer. You gotta be able to drive.
Yes.
Well, I mean, look at last year. I mean, Bobby on Whitaker's team, or on Brockway's team, Bobby Brockway is one of the hammers. Him and
Ryan Durham.
Ryan Durham are generally the hammers. Definitely. Well, Bobby finished second last year with a car that was junk. After the first heat with Booger's team.
And he'll tell you Jason Kokin's the reason why that car got back
out
there.
Oh, yeah, Jason rebuilt it.
And he was being nice about how bad it was, because all of us, remember when we walked over to it, we all looked at that and said, like, junkyard. That's junkyard. And they're like, we're going to fix it. Yeah. And it's like, and then he gets that far. Again, there was teams, though, in when they ran where he needed his friends to get him out of jams, and they did. And that's what helped him get to that second place.
Absolutely.
You know? Turning our attention back to the compact side of things, Scott, can you get as much out of a compact car as you can? The full-size cars, you know, we're talking about how wasted Brockway's car was, but the compacts, they seem like they're pretty forgiving in the back end, and they can fold up, and you're just kind of dragging the trunk floor around, and the track's so hard, it's almost forgiving. You're not going to lose so much on the back end. Can you get as much out of the compact cars, and you have to invest as much time and effort into repairing them?
You know, it all depends on where you go, what shows you hit. I've had a car where I had 13 runs out of it. The front end, it was a W body, and the front end was all original. I actually cut it right down the middle and had to redo the back half, which the promoter that I went to after that thought I was nuts, but it was surprisingly easy to do. And I got more runs out of it, more wins out of it. But, yeah, you know, like you guys are saying, at Blizzard Bash last year, I'd say I was the hammer on the team, and then take that car and try and bend it back straight, and then no patches going into Carnage with the same car. And I definitely had to adjust my driving style in order to get that win. You know, I think I only went nose to nose with one guy that pissed me off right off the bat. And then I got him out and calmed down, and I don't think I went nose to nose with anybody until, I don't even know if I did it till the end. I mean, I sat there and did wheel shots and back end shots, hit them where they're soft or where I could take them out. I wasn't going to do any nose to nose at Carnage with that car. And then I, I think I ran it two or three more times before that car was done this summer, UD County Fair shows. So,
Scott, are you even building the back of them, or do you, even for Blizzard Bash, are you guys just focusing firewall forward and then just put a nasty cage on, or are you actually spending time in the back?
No, not a ton of time in the back. I see some guys that I look at the back and I'm like, man, you know, they're making the things look nice. I mean, I don't know if it's going to help a whole lot. I mean, I'm sure it will a little bit, but I'm going to concentrate on the business end.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
That's just the way it is. I concentrated on the back one time, I think 4 years ago, and it was too hard in one spot and too weak in another, and it couldn't fix the too weak part. So I'm guessing that's still going to be the same with the other guys, but, you know, I don't know everything, so who knows.
Yeah, I mean, prime example, I mean, Leon.
Yeah,
Leon.
Oh, yeah.
Him and his wife have been running their car all summer. Yeah. He just ended up scrapping it, cutting it up. But he made a very valid and good point that I don't think a lot of the compact drivers do, or you could take advantage of, because the compact class rules, you don't see a specific rule in compacts that you do in the full size cars.
Go ahead.
Everybody's listening now.
What's the rule?
Where do you see in the compact rules no stubbing?
See, this is why you know I'm not good to talk to.
So it's 100%. 100%. The weak point of the compacts, the asses get dusted.
Yep.
So body shops do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Cut them off, like you said. Cut them off, weld the new back half on, take it out and run it. And it's not nowhere have any compact rules have I ever read. I haven't read a lot of them, but that's not a rule that they. That it says, you know.
That makes
it's
sense.
Always in the full-size cars.
You're absolutely right.
So you're saying that you could theoretically put the back half of a Mustang on a W-body?
No.
I'm saying
on a W-body,
yes.
You pretty much, the ass end is wasted right to the gas tank protector.
Yep.
So, all right,
cut
why not
the
front
the
end still straight as an arrow, cut it off, stub it back together, tie it in, and go.
And you would just lay a bead all the way around.
Well, there's a seam. There's seams in there,
right,
just
there.
Like any.
Man, see,
it's a unibody car.
It's true.
You've never been that close to one. That's Cody or Jerry.
But he's definitely. I mean, he brought up a good point. I mean, why if you got a perfectly straight car from the rear doors forward?
Why chuck it? You're right.
You know.
I never thought of
that. Yeah, it goes the other way with them compacts too. So, you know, clip the front half, too. You get a bad show.
Right.
Bad show. You know, first show out, you're trying to take it easy so that way you can get a little squiggle and get them patches on. And sometimes you don't get that. You know, you get too close to the end and you got to really hammer down to get the win. And you mess that dang thing up bad enough that patches ain't going to cut it. And then you just end up clipping the front, too.
Right. Which Sickles has done.
It all depends on that first couple shows.
You'd mentioned coming out with the used car, coming back out to Capital City Carnage and running with some success in Topeka a bunch of different times. Do you still get the butterflies when you pass through that tunnel and come into the main arena?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing quite like that one.
No.
But, I don't know, you just get in the zone, and it's just like any other derby once the green flag drops, I'd say. But except better competition, of course, but, yeah.
Every round's a feature.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Every round's a feature. Scott, man, I wish you the best going in. I know you got work that you got to get back to, but I don't want to burn up all your daylight. Is there anybody that you want to make mention of that's helping get the cars out there?
Yeah, I pretty much just been plugging away at it latter half of the summer by myself. But give a shout-out to Kevin Ullman. Ryan Majerus has helped me out a bit. And my wife are letting me do this all the time. And shout out to Randy Ullman for a place to get some nice cheap steel. That's about it.
Awesome, Andy. Scott, man, I appreciate you making some time for us to come on the show. I know this is a busy time of year for you guys. We appreciate it a lot, and we certainly wish you the best when we get to Topeka. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah, see you in a couple weeks.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
You bet. Bye.
He put on a great show last year winning Capital City Carnage in the compacts. He was driving people to the front end. And then we interviewed him afterwards, and he wasn't happy with how the front end held up.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's the second run through Topeka.
Yeah. And I wasn't happy with how it held up. I'm like, damn. Yeah.
That's so true.
He, I mean, he was junking stuff in that feature and drove right down to the end. It was very impressive.
I hope they do well. But last year they had, I think, what, six, eight teams to worry about? They got a full bracket of 16 this time.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
And they're going to break them up just like.
They're not going to have as much repair time. I'll tell you that much.
No, but they're going to do two on twos? Like team on team?
We'll see when we get there.
Because that would be crazy. That track is like bonkers big
for
to
four,
go to.
Oh, yeah. That'd
four
be,
compacts?
That'd be awesome.
It'd be 60 mile an hour hits.
It's fine. It means we'll be over with in 3-4 minutes. what's the harm in that?
Moule sent me this article the other day about concussions, second concussions. Holy cow.
Second impact, yeah.
Did he send it to you?
No, I used to work a little bit with a local boxer named Ray Cingolini. He started a group called Second Impact, and he went around to – he still does as far as I know. He was he was a boxer, and he used to fight under two or three different names three or four nights in a row. And he'd get his bell rung, and they just call him Punch Drunk, and he'd get his money, and he'd go the next day and sign it under a different name. And,
oh my
and he was doing that for a long time. So he went around, and he was talking to high school kids about pugilistic syndrome, which is layered concussions leading to dementia. And he used to go around and talk to the high schools to kind of try and drive home the points of
concussions.
You know, concussions and not messing with it.
And he started when he was like 16. Like, that's how he really got hurt, was like he was like 16 or 18, something like that.
And he was on a trajectory and then found, hey, if I'm good at this one night a week, I can be good at this three nights a week.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened is that
he'd
won one or two like in a row. And then he went to Syracuse or somewhere and fought somebody and got concussed.
Wasn't exactly money hungry. There's a really good story behind that. It wasn't quite that. Oh yeah.
No, when you're good, you're good, and you want to be on top. And when you get the green, the benefit that's a driving force.
And then you want to do it more and more.
Yeah.
You know, that would be me if I could derby every night. You know. And someone's like, well, you're getting concussed every night. It's like, well, I'll still do it for as many years
as I
can.
Right now, Terry's like, no, I can't keep up building your cars.
Dude, we were concussed in Utah.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Arthur Sukut's still laughing at
me. I know. They messaged me like every day, how's the neck today? How's the neck today? Butch just hit me up. Hey, is your neck back to normal?
Yeah, he asked me how my hand was.
Arthur got me, man. He was junking stuff. I don't think he knows how much stuff he was joking.
All right. We're going to get Jason Brodzinski on the line here in a moment. Please. Two more things to tell you about. February the 10th, 2018, the Florida Southern National Showdown coming up. Two-man team demolition derby. 20 teams from all over the nation are going to be converging on the Hernando County Fairgrounds in Brooksville, Florida. Tickets are on sale now, HernandoFairgrounds.com. Some of the biggest names in the game are making the trip out there. It's going to be awesome.
Can I make a point on that real quick? One team dropped out. They have an opening. I don't care what
I
part
thought they
of
were the... overbooked already.
Nope. There's one opening. They have 20, whatever it is. They're down one team.
Chris Marquardt and Jeremy Gulley.
I've been trying to get guys. You know, I mean... You want to be there. Trust me. The name of people that are going to be there. Last year was so cool, right, Ben? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so good of a time, man. The derby was so awesome and stuff. But we hung out before and after. That was even cool. If you don't got anything going on in February, call your friend right now and say we need to get in on this. Hit up JC or John Cash. But, I mean, last year, man, did we have a great time. And this year's going to be nothing other than awesome. Awesome time.
It's going to be an awesome
Pernice start. Is winning it, by the way. Joey Pernice.
Another awesome one that is waiting in the wings. And I'm looking forward to getting back up there to St. Peter, Minnesota for Napa Winter Slam. By the way, it's full already.
Yeah, I saw that.
There's no spots left. They're going to have to do the drawing because they're waiting for everybody to work their entries through the mail. That is coming up. St. Peter, Minnesota, Napa Winter Slam, full size, no wagons, 35 car max, 2,000 to win there. They're paying back through 10th place in all the classes. 80s chain class, 35 cars max, 1,000 to win there. Light build trucks, 35 max, 1,000 to win compacts, 35 max, 1,000 to win each class. has a heavy hitter that pays $300 and a trophy, $100 and a plaque to best paint. Longest Toe gets $100, second longest is $75. Best Western Mankato has rooms available. They're also going to have the party there. $99 for a double room and a $109 for poolside. 507-625-9333. Get a hold of Best Western Mankato. Let them know that you are with the Winter Derby. Do you have rules questions in the event that you hope that 25 cars drop out ahead of you on the wait list and you want to try and build one? You can get a hold of Randy Wasoski or Jeremy Urban. Randy, 507-327-1944, or Jeremy Urban, 507-525-4290. And this just showing that we're talking about February already, that not only is Derby year-round, but people are definitely fighting for the attention of the Derby community. Already talking about February, and we're not even to November yet. We haven't killed any deer, and we're talking about, you know, snowmobile weather.
You said right around the corner.
It is.
It is, actually.
It is. No, I mean,
please. That's a heavy year.
Next week's November.
Not only is next week November, like Ben said, we've got the indoor block party on November 17th. We have the New Year's Eve party in December. And then from there, it's like 4 weeks until we have these shows.
Oh, yeah. Did you get the update that Holiday Inn sold?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Ben. Appreciate that.
That's terrific.
Let me ask you, why does Randy's rule say no wagons, you think? What do you think is the
same reason why there's no wagons in Florida?
Tell me.
They're ladle huts. That was being sarcastic. I have no idea. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, there's wagons personally, aren't scaring anybody. I mean, personally, running a wagon at Winter Slam is not that great of an idea. That would not be my choice.
You know how many people would drool at pillar parking a wagon?
Oh my
at Winter
gosh,
Slam?
All day long. Yeah, I'm with you. It's like saying no Imperials.
Well,
so now we're to no wagons on top. Are we saying I can't run an 80s LTD wagon? Who gives a shit? I'm just throwing that out there.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's just a weird rule.
Trying to figure out. Jason, have we got you?
Probably not.
Jason Brudzinski?
Doesn't sound that way.
Fix it, Chris, because I want to ask him questions.
He just dropped his phone in a concrete mixer.
No, he said he's done with concrete for a while. He's going to start his Blizzard Bash car.
Yeah. Didn't book any more jobs, right? Let me try to get him back.
Chris, we just went blank.
His Sonic Seam Welder might be breaking up the reception.
Sonic Seam Welder. Ben knows everything.
Yeah, we're good now.
Ben knows all the techs, the high tech. We should do like...
He's making his own hydroform rails.
We should do like a 10-minute thing with him, like the new tech. He could be like our tech guy, our high tech demolition derby.
Ben, how do you feel about that? You listen to this guy talk over here? He shows up for the first time all summer long and starts
that's fine.
I would like to hear it, because Ben, remember you were telling me about they got this tool now where they can test thicknesses, metal thicknesses, just by touching it?
Okay,
I'd love to
give... They had them at Blizzard Bash last year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Shit.
In the year before.
But see, I'm really interested in that because...
But you got to clean the spot and everything else.
Are you joking with me?
It's not real simple. He doesn't like you, Chris.
Okay, no. I'm not sure why he gave me that number. Okay, perfect. Well, thanks, Dave. Sorry, I'm trying to track down Jason. I'll track him down. All right. You want to say hi to everybody? I don't know what happened with that phone number. We got Dave Diemel.
Nice. What's going on, Dave?
I'm working. Working.
Well, everybody's working. Everybody's working on Blizzard Bash cars. What are you working on?
Oil maneuver. Get ready to work on my Capital Carnage car.
Yeah, it's about that time to start bringing those things in, isn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
The build on that, and compared to some of the other cars that we see, is it about the same, putting the car together for Capital City Carnage takes about the same amount of time?
It takes me 10 months. Quite a while to build mine, but I'm pretty fussy on mine. I haven't built a lot of full mods. I do mostly the limited weld stuff.
Right.
So I know Jason puts a lot of time in his cars.
Doesn't that sort of play to your advantage, though? I mean, in terms of that being your wheelhouse, the way that you build most of your cars in that sense, that's one of those things that's going to help out long-term in terms of putting that car together, because you know what you're doing. We talked about how some of these heavy builders have to back down a limited weld, and it pulls them out of their element a little.
Yeah, I know it takes me a long time to build my limited weld car, but if it don't take you a long time to build it, I think you're going to be underbuilt.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
That's my opinion of it, but I'm pretty particular in how I build my... I like to run my wagon, so...
Yeah, for sure.
I got fine details in it.
How things going to go for you, Capital City Carners, this year? Walking away with a win?
Well, hopefully it goes as good as last year, but you know as well as I do, it all depends on how many friends you got out there in the future.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a big part of it. Yep. For sure, that's a big part
Packing
of it.
Packing order.
A lot of luck has to fall your way, too.
What part of the draft you fall in.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, we had a Grow Cup time last year down there, me and my brother and my cousin, even though they didn't make the feature. Definitely a lot funner than running the hometown shows, that's for sure.
Yep. What are you building this year? Are you going with a wagon for sure, or are you going to try and pull something out of the hat and change it up?
Nope, another wagon.
Did you just have wagons lined up in the backyard?
Well, sometimes they wind up there easy, but the last five or six we got, we've had to travel a long ways for them. You know, Wisconsin really ain't in your neck of the woods to find your decent derby cars. You know, you got to travel to get them.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's funny that you reference it saying, well, only the last five or six. Josh has never had one.
Yes, I have.
Well, yeah. Because it's so expensive, it's hard to buy them in groups anymore.
Yes, that's true. I saw somebody post online that their budget for a wagon was between $4,000 and $6,000.
I was hoping that was a driver. I saw the same thing. I was really hoping they were a driver.
My eyes about popped out of my head.
I know somebody that paid almost $3,900 for one.
First to wreck it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, derby car.
Good decision.
it's clean, man, you know. I mean, but it's got to be clean. But I got that kind of money. But they're up there. They're up there, you know, the very good clean wagons, you know, 3 to 35 if they're Chevy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
But, you know, that's...
You know, what people talk about... People talk about running out of cars. You know, they say 15 years ago, they used to say we were going to run out of cars. You'll never run out of cars. All that'll change is how much we pay for them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there's always going to be the guy paying. Someday we're going to talk about someone spending $7,000 on a derby car. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Eventually it will.
That is totally.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the wagons. My brother likes the wagons. I don't know. I just haven't had the luck in sedans to bring a sedan. I don't know, but that's me. I guess I have a lot better luck in my wagons.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You like driving backwards?
I don't mind it. I'm getting a little older, though, so it's getting a little harder to turn around, but.
Totally.
Scooter up as much as we can and drive forward.
Yeah.
I feel like the only days I get whiplash are like days I was driving backwards.
You try to turn around.
Right. Yeah, you drive forward. I'm sick of those whiplashes.
Yeah.
Now, there's some of my friends that won't drive a wagon. They just won't drive them. They get up and then either we trade Impalas or whatever, four-doors for the wagons or vice versa, whatever, you know. But they will not run a wagon. There's quite a few people that are like that.
Well, I got two boxcar Imperials at my house, and I'm not building them because I just that means you have to drive backwards all summer.
No, you
and
don't.
I don't want to drive backwards all summer. You say that, Ben.
You don't.
I don't want to drive backwards.
You don't have to.
It's gotta,
Yeah. I don't know. I'll probably bring a 70 Chevy again. I don't know. That's my favorite car.
Cool. Well, we...
Go ahead.
Keep us posted on how the build goes. I want to know more about it. We'll be in touch with you probably about 3 months from now when we start getting closer to Capital City Carnage to talk more about it.
Hey, not a problem. Oh, it was fun talking. You guys have a good night.
This is a surprise, Dave.
Dave.
Appreciate it, man. We'll see you later.
See ya.
Later, man.
Dave Dymel getting ready for Capital City Carnage because it's right around the corner. Why not, right?
You talk about prices of cars. I mean, but I said 10 years ago, who the hell would think that you'd be paying $14,000, $15,000 for a derby motor?
100%.
You know, back then, $5,000, $6,000, you were getting kicked in the forehead.
I remember sitting in Jesse Howell's yard saying, I mean, he had 15 Imperials in a row there. And I remember saying, like, man, just we got to be running out of Imperials. And he said, Josh, when I first started Derby and I used to say we're going to run out of Imperials, now I realize we're just going to pay more for them. Yep. And he was right. You just exactly. pay more money for them.
Exactly.
My kid, if my kid wants to run an Imperial and I got to pay $2,500, I'm going to pay $2,500.
Oh, well, you got two of them. All you got to do is stand them up in the air so they don't rot out.
No, you got to run them before. My goal is running them before they rot out, you know. Let's talk about not having a boxcar and not running backwards.
You don't have to run backwards.
I hear you, what you're saying. I like this. Because I got that 62 days. So clean.
You know. Do you want me to send you Jason's number?
No, I got it. I got to get him back. I told him 6:45, and we're running behind.
Oh, it's 7.
I got some good questions for him too. I could talk to that guy all day.
Uh-huh. Just don't talk to the steering box guy.
No.
He's real. Don't get me wrong. He's a real cool guy, but he's like engineer type, smart.
Too smart.
But he actually talks normal. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And last year I was talking to him and Jason, and Jason's like, "You tell him all about this steering box," and he's rattling off this, and this part fits this, and take this part from this, and it fits this, and this, that, and that. And I just looked at him and said, "Don't take this the wrong way," but way too much information for me.
But like Bradzinski's the guy, when he's talking, I really stop and listen. You know, like I'll ask a question, then you just listen. Then you ask a question, listen.
Yo, what's your
name? And he'll talk. He'll explain why he did something.
Oh, he explains. Yeah, he'll explain everything. And he's a good dude. That's the nice part about it.
There you go. We got Jason now. That was the most challenging phone interview that we've ever done. Accidentally getting a hold of Dave Dymel to hang out with us for a few minutes, which was cool. But now we've got Jason Bradzinski.
You got 15 minutes on the line. Heat cycle.
Yep, we're
between heat cycles.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Jason, how are you?
Oh, in the studio.
We got everybody. Ben, Josh, and Brian. Everybody's here. Josh has been chomping at the bit. He's been writing down questions for you almost.
No, it's not true. It's not true.
He came in and he dropped a notebook, like one of those five subject notebooks on the table. And he said, "This is all my notes on Derby cars from all summer, and I want to talk to Jason." So I'm going to turn it over to Josh now. Josh, go ahead.
That's not true at all. That's funny. No, that's not true at all. But sometimes, Jason, before you came on, I was saying that sometimes I really enjoy talking to you because the way you explain stuff, I mean, you're really good at explaining stuff and you don't BS
people. Because you're a lot smarter than Josh.
Way smarter than me.
And it makes you feel better because you tone it down so that he can understand what you're saying.
You're a jerk.
You like our talks when we go to Winter Slam, don't you?
We have had some good talks at Winter Slam.
right in the same wheelhouse, exactly.
Yep.
What are you building, man?
I got a Ford. Same old. Nothing special.
Nothing special. Will you give us a hint at what you're going to show up at this year that nobody's seen before? Because every year you show up with something to just push people over the edge.
That's true.
So, what I mean.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
What are you doing this year to push people over the edge?
I haven't tidying up the frame now, and I'm going to go to the body. I probably don't have enough time to get anything crazy. Just trying to focus on, you know, we've been there how many years, and don't seem to have the numbers or luck on our side, so just trying to double check everything, you know, put everything together right, and a little Loctite on every bolt and nut, and and just gonna nothing crazy, nothing really, kind of, you know, I don't know if it's I'm getting old or the wow factor, you know, maybe is not there like it used to be. Went to Spring Explosion, just the same group of guys. And it was just a simple build. The car held up real good, and we ended up taking up the win. So nothing too far-fetched or crazy.
You got a couple of new drivers with you this year, recruiting Cordell Hansen to come back on the team, and Gage Sumner joining you and Ryan Songalewski. You got a couple good wheelmen, some kicks. Cordell, he's tasted success down there in Topeka before. How'd you get those guys on the team?
I think it started maybe roughly about a year ago. We ran Capital Carnage, and Gage was there, and he was helping us pit, and we were right next to him, and just a real good guy, you know. I almost wish he was rather pitting for me than running, but he's probably going to be mad at me that I said that. Tom's prepared, you know, just anal on everything, built a really good car, good driver. We went out with three cars at Spring X, Ryan ended up having motor issues when he was going to start the car to pull out, and we ended up doing it with just three of us. So I'm excited to see what we can do with four, I'm probably most confident going in with this group.
Nice.
Gage. Going into this year, but now I just got to get my car done.
Gage had that burgundy Ford at Capital City Carnage, and it was super clean. All the lines were super crisp on it. It was a great build.
He's got a nasty engine, right?
Yes.
Yeah. When he touches that off, whoo, I get fired up.
So you got him on your side, and Cordell, he's demonstrated his value there time and time again. He's a great builder, and he can break blocks with the best of them.
He's not afraid to put her to the floor, and he's. I just got the Spring X film in like a week or two ago, and I went and watched it, and laughing at myself. He runs that 5-speed, and he's getting a new motor built this year, and I think he's gonna put her to the test, and he's not afraid to use it.
That's cool.
So, I mean, you said this is the most confident that you are going into Blizzard Bash, and there's always that spectacle. You guys are going to have a spot, a target on you just because of who you are and who Ryan is and the team that you represent. But do you feel that you guys maybe are owed a little bit of luck from Topeka, that this is potentially your year to shake some of that attrition off your back?
Yeah, I sure hope so, but we're just going to take one. We're just going to, focus on getting past Tech. it's such a big week. I think I'm about 13 hours and then vending and running, So we're going to take in two trucks, two trailers, and you just take one thing at a time,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday we're going to focus on getting in there, and then Wednesday's going to be Tech, and Thursday's going to be the first heat, and not going to be overconfident. Just gonna, you never know if your friends are gonna make the feature or not, and sometimes you can have numbers and not. And I think, I think we'll be all right this year. Definitely gonna have a target. Probably we'll have a target everywhere we go, but I think we'll do all right.
That's one thing that you share in common, Josh, with Jason Rudzinski.
Ooh, go.
No matter where you go, you got a target on you.
Yeah. Well, he earned his. Like, I didn't really earn mine.
I completely agree.
He earned his.
One is justified, one is not.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Jason, I got a quick question for you, right? Because throughout this year, I get a lot of questions. A lot of guys asking me about transmissions, right?
Did anybody else notice that Josh spends all this time looking at the monitor, staring at himself instead of looking at the camera in front of him?
I don't like looking
at
the camera.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. Chris, shove it up here. Jason, what I want to ask is, I remember last year, maybe it was Capital Carnage, Blizzard Bash, you guys were running some stall in your trannies. And I get a lot of guys asking me through the year, and not even guys that are building motors as good as what you guys have, just even some guys with some stock stuff or some small built stuff. Do you suggest guys doing stall? And what are the pros and cons of why you guys went to putting stall in there, in your converter?
Well, I think your converter has to match your motor, ideally. You know what I mean? It's not really a guessing game. I got hooked up with Cone Converter out of Indiana, and then I sent, you kind of tell them what we're doing, and they get down to asking the weight of the car, the gear ratio, altitude, where you're running, and it's just like, I think my first conversation with them opened up a whole new world of thinking, this sport was maybe more advanced, or can be, than I ever thought. Mm-hmm. So when you should match, in my mind, you should match with your motor if you're running more of a stock motor, and, you should have more of a stock stall. When I went to that bigger stall, it really, really did my motor well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we changed gear ratios from last year to this year. I was a 411, now I'm a 456, so it woke it up even more. And we were, Spring X feature was maybe about an hour. And I think I was in the 180s water temp after.
Wow. Yeah. Get out of here.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Everything's working. Everything's good. Everything's working together. But I went through some speed bumps.
Right.
Like 2015 Blizzard Bash. I stalled in the feature, got put in the corner. Had a little carb issue, and then it wasn't the right converter, but with this motor, I maybe at the time I bit off a little more than I could chew. It took me about 2 years to figure it out.
Interesting.
Do you run all summer long to stay fresh?
Do not. I wish I did.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Last time I was in the car would be Spring X. Now I go here. I went out. I was listening to your guys' podcast and listening to Dustin Ingram talk about how much he runs.
Yeah.
Merely made me think about it. You know what I mean? And it was like, I wish I could. The local derbies around here just went right to the bottom. Yep. I've had a promoter ask me not to come anymore just because of the uproar. You know what I mean? It was like, and then we'd go and have every car try to take us out, and you'd still win. And there were key in vehicles, and the state police were out on the track after. And
it's not cool.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's not cool.
So, I do derby parts and concrete work. So, I finished up concrete now for this part of the year, focusing on getting some parts to people who are running Blizzard Bash, and then it'll be derby parts all winter. And then, you know, people are just, there's a short concrete season around here, about 6 months, and when a lot of the summer shows, you know, late spring summer shows are going, I'm busy with concrete and keeping up with derby, so I don't really have an opportunity to go do it.
Sure. So, Jason, when I listened to that Dustin Ingram one too, and I thought I loved what he was saying. I was really impressed with what he was saying. Now, you saying you don't get to run as much, but would you agree with what he was saying? Did you think that guys that are running all summer, does it make you a little nervous when you pull on a track with a guy like him that's just run like 30 times compared to you saying like, man, I haven't run since June? Do you think that affects guys in their head mentally or not really?
I think it can play a factor, but then not cutting him down, and you know that I think a lot of people try to put bad blood in between Ingrams and I or whatever, but I like those guys. Not definitely to cut him down, but then I listened to him talk, and we went down to Sturgis, and he had some bad luck. You can run, you know, I think he had tranny issues, and they didn't win their heat down there. They ended up coming back and doing, you know, for what they had to do, doing well in the feature, but you can run 100 times, and, you know, small little variables here, a wire, transmission.
So true.
And, you know, there's variables.
So true.
Having confidence and track time is just a part of it, I think.
I remember Brockway lost Blizzard Bash, or excuse me, Metal Mayhem, over a 8-cent piece of hose.
Yeah.
Because it run through.
Yeah, that goes back to the old saying that I used to tell a guy that around here. He used to tell Nick, instead of running, building 15 cars and running in 15, 20 derbies, build one or two cars and make sure they're 100% right and run
that
half the mile.
Absolutely right. I learned it myself. Quantity is not the right way.
Well, especially at this level, like Jason said, everything is just right to a T, and double, triple checking and making sure everything's right on, because everybody is, you know, there's not such a wide gap between every different driver and team. They're so close. It's gonna be that one little minute thing that possibly you got in a hurry and overlooked. So nobody wants to overlook it.
Absolutely true.
And of course, if there's time left on the clock, you should be loading welding wire in the gun, right?
Another heat cycle on a frame.
Oh, Jesus. Well, we've talked about it because we've heard some guys say, like, hey, I want to get my Blizzard Bash car done week before, 2 weeks before, a month before.
Never
happens. Other drivers will say, like, there's no such thing. I mean, if you're done, then you need to go back in the garage because you're
got to look at it again.
Yeah, you got to keep building till the day of, you know. Do you think, Jason, you ever feel done? You ever feel done on your Blizzard Bash build?
No, and I'm probably worse off this year than I ever been, but years past, from what I experienced, was if you were ahead and all of a sudden you hear about these rule changes.
Yeah.
If you did build it beginning of summer,
you're screwed.
All of a sudden it's like, you got to tear your car apart because how you interpreted the rules, not how they do, and you got to redo stuff. So I've never had to go backwards, if that's one benefit of.
Uh-oh.
Nope. Wasn't on our end. Still there?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Yeah, okay, so I got another question for you, all right? This is a good one. No.
You have it.
No. You guys, let's call a spade, right? For whatever reason, you guys are, everything you guys do gets watched there. Like, everything. Especially, like, when I put that picture on that bumper and you guys pulled in with that bumper, people are losing their goddamn mind. Yeah, I mean, people are just, oh my God. Do you get burnt out and do you get stressed out knowing that you are going to get every weld you weld, every plate you put on that cart, people are going to stare at it, critique it. I don't know. Does that stress you out going to Blizzard Bash, or do you look forward to that?
This is the first time I've ever had to think about it, I guess. Going and knowing it to be in the spotlight, it's not like I don't know it, but I don't let it bother me. And then, you know, I always appreciate where I came from. You know, I sat in the stands there and watched and wanted to be the one that everybody had their eye on. You know what I mean? So anybody, doesn't matter who they are, come up and talk to me. Doesn't matter if they bought a part from me or not. So I always give, you know, if someone comes and asks me questions, I give them time. And you know, it's a good feeling. And I haven't let it stress me out or anything. I've been through a lot in my life, so I don't usually let a lot bother me, and I just go with the punches, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Do you think all the everybody watching you guys stresses your team out at all?
I think it might, you know, without... There's some, you know, probably the most nervous time for me would be pulling through tech. And I think everybody else gets to that point.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Totally. There's people sweating bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be, you know, there's always a way we interpret the rules, and it doesn't matter what show we go to. You're just thinking that 2014 was the first year I ran there, and everything I did on the car, per the black and white of the rules, I should have got a stick. But they're like, whoa, okay, we never seen anything like this before. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yes.
Out of a lot of attention, and a lot of, like, you know, negative energy too. And when you're in that moment, you don't always see it. You don't always see that every picture taken. You know, you might be in a conversation with someone, and there's 10 people behind you talking about and taking pictures, and you didn't realize it, you know,
totally.
until after, or until you go to the hotel and go, oh, look at, you know, this picture's all over, and this many shares, and it could be negative comments too, like, this guy's an idiot, you know,
sure.
Like, why would he build a bumper like that?
Sure, sure.
You know, so you don't see it always at that moment of time, but, you know, for the next 6 months, you hear about it, and you'll see, you know, if it's United States Derby page or whoever shared it is talking about it.
Yes.
But that bumper, you ended up capping that bumper off, and now all the bumpers at Blizzard Bash are made like that. They're made with that center bar, a top and bottom, and then...
Oh, honeycomb. There's so many different
ways. The honeycomb
ways.
Effect inside, you know, where they put the pieces
in. It's like I said in earlier episodes, earlier shows, it hits a nail on the head. I mean, you take Jason and all the crews, they spend months reading through and interpreting the rule sets,
yep.
And then they go through tech, and then you got somebody in tech, guys in tech, basically like Jason says, the wow factor. Whoa, okay, and just instantly say, no, you can't do that.
Totally.
And within 15, 20 minutes, and it's like, sometimes, I mean, me as a builder, I mean, you go through that, and it's like, wait a minute. This dude is not even listening to my explanation,
sure.
You know, and my reasoning behind it. So, and I get 100%. I mean, that's like getting kicked in the nuts.
Totally.
You know, you spend that much time, and then just have somebody say no and not listen to any reason.
Jason, does pushing?
It's frustrating. You think, you know, this is one of the biggest shows in the nation, and sometimes, not this show, I'm certain. You know, say a handful of top shows, and why didn't you spend some time on your rules?
Yeah.
Don't take it out on me. Take it out on you. I mean, you know what?
The wording.
You spent a day on this. Maybe try spending a week and straighten this out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've got.
You're right.
You've got nationwide mindsets looking over this one set, and you got a whole nation of drivers reading through
everybody it. Everybody wants that advantage. I mean, you know, there's 16 teams in my class there.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one team saying, well, yeah, let's just go donate this year and have fun.
No. There's no donation bucket at this show.
Nope.
Not at all.
No.
Jason, with how much they scrutinize your guys' cars, do you feel like as the years progress, you push the rules less each year just because you stress the headache that follows behind it, or does it motivate you? Right,
or just be like, okay, you want to fine tune comb?
Yes,
fine tooth comb it. Find this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like, you know, the first year for me going, I might have blew, let's say, 8 things up in the rules, and then they straightened out every one for the year after, and now it's like they straighten out a couple. There's not as many holes or gray areas because each year they kind of straighten them out. And I always wondered, you know, that year was a lot of things that was visual. And I think I was talking to Gage and I said, I wonder if there's anything we don't know about that you cannot see. You know, and I'm not one to go, you know, really call out there or look at people's cars or something. And is there something underneath that we're not seeing here?
Great question to ask yourself. That's a great question.
And Jason knows. The reason why Jason's asking that is because of the way his mind works as a builder.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. Could I be doing this
right
when other people are doing this? You know, so that's
super smart.
I mean, it's 24/7, 365. I mean, you constantly think on how you can improve it and how you're doing it, and that's 100% true. There possibly is, because there is drivers that aren't going to go and look under everybody's car.
Sure.
You know, they're going to build to their best ability and build to their knowledge and build to the point to where, okay, we got them this year. And go out there, run. Learn from what, you know, decipher everything and pick stuff apart for the following year and do something just a little bit different. But there's always that thought process, is you're 100% right. Is somebody else doing something that we're not seeing? And I don't know. I mean, the way you guys build and to see your builds from what I've seen over the past however many years you've been going out there, it's four or five, but I mean, I don't remember shit I did a month ago, but to see the progression and they are one of the elite, to me, one of the elite builds there, one of the best of the best. So for him to be wondering if something else is getting by, it's like, that's crazy to me.
You know,
and
what?
Because it makes your head spin every year. Every year we go out there and it's just like, wow. You know, Josh and I are like, did you see that? Ben, check this out. Come over and check this out. And I'm like, I'm just
brain overload.
Yeah.
Was it a Blizzard Bash where somebody took never mind, I shouldn't.
No, don't start telling stuff. But you know what? I don't want to say who said it, but I'm going to say a guy that's not a big name driver that runs Blizzard Bash was talking to me.
Brian Hawkins.
Close. And said to me, I've been doing some of the stuff that these guys have been doing, okay? Yeah, I didn't have all the stuff that they had around it, but I had already done this. He was talking about one specific thing. Mm-hmm. He said, well, because I'm a small name driver, no one looks under my car. But I'd done that before that man had done that. That had me wondering. You know what? Yeah, Jason, everyone looks at Jason's car. Let's be honest. What? Every single person there goes looks at Jason.
Prime example, Josh. We know. We talked.
But
we've
there are
talked
some
before.
Guys that are getting through because their name is more quiet, maybe. And maybe they – and who's to say that they didn't think of an idea better than Jason?
Right.
Or outside the box.
Sometimes flying underneath the radar works.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Kind of like the difference of being the first team through the inspection line versus the 12th team through the inspection line. You know, it's 100% agree with you. Josh and I know exact conversations because we had them conversations, and it's like we couldn't believe it. And it's but
But the big name guys, and I guess this is with any sport, because everyone's focusing on them, sometimes the other guys get around it because it's like, oh, yeah, everyone's staring over there. Okay, I'm flying right over here. And I think some of that maybe.
It happens everywhere. It happens every show there is.
Brookfield Wheel Days, it happens at Broome County.
It happens at any motorsport.
Any motorsport.
That's how it is. I mean, you always got the guys that draw the attention. And you got the guys that don't win as much, but they still sneak in a big win here or there. They're always there.
Oh, yeah.
But they're doing stuff that, you know, that's not being looked at because it's not.
But why this sucks for Jason and his group is, let's say Jason comes up with, let's say he's not the first one to come up with it, but it's like a really cool idea. He goes through Blizzard Bash. Next Saturday, 27 guys copied him at their hometown track because everyone got to look over Jason's car, where sometimes he actually gets penalized because the next year everyone did all the shit he did. Always got to stay out of the curve.
Wins on Sunday, sells on Monday.
Yep. Which, I mean, you're always staying on top, Jason, which shows that you earned and deserve to be up there because you're always ahead of the curve. But, man, it's got to be tough to always, next year you're outdoing the year you did before. Do you feel that way? Lose him?
He's had enough.
Yeah.
He said these guys are
Chris
bad.
Chris Lawson on the phone? I wonder if he feels that way, you know?
Come on, Chris.
Sure, I mean, it's kind of, he's constantly orders the expectations there every single season for him to evolve and come out with something different. You know what I mean? The pressure of that.
Yes.
Which,
yes.
You know, the type of person he seems to be when we talk to him, he's constantly wants to evolve, constantly wants to get better. He's never happy with mediocre.
He's definitely got the mind of an engineer, though he doesn't do the work of an engineer. Yes. He's definitely got the mind. And yes. I mean,
that whole group, him and Ryan, I mean, and his uncle.
Yeah.
But yeah, 100%. I mean, it's just like his thought process of going, everybody's going thick, and then he reels it back and goes thinner with a different grade.
Okay, so smart. Engineer right there. Because he's like, okay, it worked, but now I went too big. Let's go. T1, and you know that's going to start selling off.
Because how many people, all of a sudden, you're under the super spotlight. Oh, he's got a freaking 1-inch thick cradle, blah, 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 blah. Now you're rolling in with a half inch. And they're like, oh, he's only got a half inch cradle.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, I put that extra. I only got a half inch cradle. I put this extra brace in. He's got a 1-inch, you know. And it's like.
Ben, you are 100% right.
Get away
on
with
that.
So much more
because
stuff.
Now these 1-inch ones are catching everyone's eyes.
Yeah,
you're so right.
Got it back.
Cool. Well, I forgot what I asked him earlier. So.
Well, just being under the scrutiny of it all. The point you were making was, you know, you do something to the car, and under the radar, nobody sees it. Then Jason puts it on his car, and then 25 people do it. So Jason constantly has to be
looking
ahead of the curve.
Do you get sick of being copied all the time? Still awesome. Damn it. Damn it.
No, it's there.
I like talking to him.
Now it's like, well, it's pretty sickening, but there's almost nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're just talking builds. I got to imagine that the business side of things is probably the
right.
Same.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking that. I was like,
both sides of it, actually. Yeah. I mean, but I think that pushes you, in my opinion, I mean, I would feel that would push you to just come out with something better and something bigger, better, and to the point where, ha-ha, try to copy this.
Right.
You know? Right. You know?
Somebody told me a while back, this was, I don't know if it was Toby Hiley out of Ohio or who it was, but if you're copying, you're behind.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. 100%. 100%.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's a T-shirt right there.
Yes,
that
there
is
you go,
a T-shirt.
Chris.
That's a
awesome
that
T-shirt.
That's a builder shirt right there.
There you go.
That's cool.
Josh won't wear it.
Nope. It's a very good point, though. You know,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why a lot of guys. You know what? That's a really good point because a lot of these guys get to Blizzard Bash. I'm not gonna say every team, but there's a lot of guys that like feel like they're behind these guys, and it's. Why don't you go out and be an innovator instead of following what he's doing year to year? It's a very valid point.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Be a leader, not a follower.
Exactly. Mopar knife.
It'd be still, a hammer, not a nail.
Like, it still does seem like it would get exhausting after a while. You know, you get the burnout after, you know, you finally find an advantage, and whether it works or not, next year everybody has it on their car, so then you get the rule written to either approve it or streamline it or outlaw it, so then you got to go back to the drawing board to get to try and find that next advantage. But at the same time, that is the way motorsports works front to back.
Mm-hmm. Ben and I talk about this all the time. It's like we burn demolition derby doesn't burn people out. We burn each other out.
That's true.
It's the sport itself. I love. He loves it. We all love it. It's each other. We hurt each other.
Interwebs.
And the copying. You know, we've talked about this a million times. It sucks but that's in every single thing there is. Mm-hmm. Every single thing that comes out, someone immediately comes out with the Chinese knockoff. It happens on everything.
Do rotisserie gold. Set it and forget it.
You're right.
I mean, you know.
That's
but
tough.
No, 100%. But Jason probably wants to get back to building his car.
Yeah, he's endured a lot of phone drops. I apologize for that, Jason. I appreciate you picking up again and again and again and again.
No problem.
So from here, you said that the body's just about, or the frame's just about done. Time to focus on the body.
Yeah, I'm going to turn attention to the body. Should have my torque converter and transmission this week. We'll put the motor and tranny together and start assembling the puzzle this weekend.
So the motor should be in it by November 7th, 8th?
Yes.
If everything goes right.
That's awesome.
Well, Jason, man, is there anybody that you wanted to mention? You got a great team around you. I know you guys bounce ideas off of each other quite a bit and keep those lines of communication open so everybody's on the same page. Anybody that you want to mention that helps make sure those cars get to the track?
Well, you mean as far as other people drive, or just this
help? Anybody that helps you guys out. You got any sponsors or partners? Anybody?
Well, yes, Derby Nation TV is sponsoring our team this year.
Mm-hmm.
And appreciate that. On my end of it, RHP, I think we're all going to be, Tyler Jones makes steering boxes now. He goes by RHP. We're all going to be running one of his steering boxes.
Nice.
He takes care of us. He's
cool.
We ran his hydraulic steering at Spring X. That's not legal here, so this is just he rebuilds and you know, does whatever he has to do to the stock box. So him, Malcolm Bryan, he always you know, near demo, he always treats me good, and I wouldn't run anything else. And all the help, all the people who come help me on the car here, family, watching my daughter, allowing me to stay in the shop longer.
Mm-hmm.
You guys for what you do, everything. Mm-hmm. Post the Mopar with the rear end, there's probably going to piss people off not mention them, but it's not just me, you know what I mean? There's a group of people.
That's one of the reasons why we tried to give people a chance to talk about the folks.
For sure, yeah, and I appreciate that.
Sure, anytime. Jason, man, I wish you the best getting that car put together. Keep us posted, and we'll see you in about 3 weeks.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Thanks,
you.
Jason. We'll see you later.
I wanted to ask him how it feels also every year to be on top of fantasy. Does it drive him nuts?
He doesn't care.
No.
He doesn't look. I mean, he doesn't look at that.
It's not about looking at it. It's about
the... Follow the links on the Crash Course page, by the way. You can find all the information on the Fantasy League. You can get your team plugged in there and get a chance to win. We're going to have... I think we're going to have Tim on next week to talk a little bit more about what's out there for the Fantasy League. I got the pictures of the raffle car for New Year's Eve. We're going to post some of those pictures this week so everybody can see that.
The find 25-plus year stored 75 Cadillac from New York.
It's a Cadillac Fleetwood... Talisman, mm-hmm. Which was like a $13,000 car back in 1975, and it was right up on par with limousines and stuff. It's not a limousine; it's a factory car. And it's super clean, it's sharp, and it's going to be a shell. You can do whatever you want with it, clean canvas. But jump on Facebook, look at the Crash Course page. We're going to be sharing it all over the place this week. Get your fantasy league teams in, and we'll have some more information next week on what's happening in terms of first place and who's winning what and what you're all entering your what you're entering your teams for. Any final thoughts, Josh? You probably won't see you again until Christmas.
No, I should be in Topeka.
Oh, you're going to Topeka?
See, it was going to come up next week.
But I just said in my own head. Yes, I'll see you in Topeka.
Oh, he's good to see ya.
If anyone like wonders, like, where's Decker Ben? Right there's the answer. That's my answer.
Oh, gracious.
I had a great comeback for that, but I'm not going to do that because that would make enemies.
Yep,
we don't want to do that.
That's fine.
We don't want to do that.
We're too close to that as it is.
Friend or friend. Friend or friend, I
hate you.
Friend or friend, I hate that I love you. How about that?
It's just business, right? Right. Just business. Just business.
Ryan has spent all night trying to get that microphone boom to
work. No, I'm just playing with this thing here. Oh, just give me something. I have like ADD, ADHD or something. Right. I don't know.
I didn't know what was going on.
I'm sad. Football, we handed another stuff today. It's done. Weightlifting starts tomorrow.
Weightlifting starts tomorrow already, man. No rest for the wicked.
Can I put in a rec real quick? Can we get some new sofas in here?
Working on it.
Got a big table behind us.
Oh,
yeah,
that's not as comfortable as
the old, like.
It's in Jim's office now. Josh called me frantic about 25 minutes before the show. He was like, nobody's here yet. Where is everybody? We're at the new studio. You got to come across town.
BS. BS. I actually drove around town until I seen the van, and then I pulled in. I said, there's that piece of junk. And Ben was pulling in right as I pulled in.
Clicked off 100,000 miles this morning. Ben, always good to have you in.
Yeah, I didn't swear that much.
Nope.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to make up for it. Perfect. In the next 2 weeks.
Good. Good. I can't wait. We'll have Tim Clark on next week. A couple other topics.
Tim's on.
What's that?
Right when Tim's on.
Okay. That's fine.
You know the best part of having Tim on the show with us? Is that Russ is listening somewhere going, Tim, what are you, Tim, come on, Tim, what are you,
just. Both at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think Russ would be on. I don't know if he would be on.
Russ has been on before. He's not really new. I had Russ doing that when I was talking to Tim and Russ down in Virginia. I was asking Tim questions about stuff, just making things up. And Russ was like, no, stop.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be in a tech line.
They don't like it when we do that. Tech line? I think it'll be fine. Shouldn't be an issue. We'll worry about it when we get there. Topeka, it's right around the corner. Coming up.
It's like 17 days or something.
Yep.
It's close.
I think it's great that you got us matching Corvettes to drive from the airport to the arena too, Chris.
That's going
to
do it for episode 202. Appreciate it. We'll see everybody next week.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.